Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The psalmist writes, "Behold, how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell together in unity." Last year, a Richard E. Rubenstein wrote a book entitled, "When Jesus Became God, the Epic Fight Over Christ's Divinity in the Last Days of Rome." The author is acknowledgedly not a Christian, and he is a neophyte, to say the least, to Christian theology, and no doubt also to church history. He is, in fact, a professor of conflict resolution and public affairs at John Mason University. But several years ago, when he was on a sabbatical from Princeton University, he rented the residence of a professor in France who had an extensive library. In browsing the books in that library, he came across some information about the Arian heresy. He became interested in exploring this because he considered it possibly the most serious conflict and struggle between Christians before the Protestant Reformation. He became interested in exploring the sources of religious conflict and the methods that people have used in resolving them. If you happen to be a fan of St. Athanasius, you will not like how the author makes him culpable for most of the conflict and an individual prone to violence in the pursuit of his goals. But one thing Rubenstein is right about, and that is that there is a constant conflict and a need for management and resolution in human life, and certainly in our lives and in the life of the church. We all know that conflict entered the human realm with the sin of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. Before eating of that forbidden fruit, our first parents were perfect. They were in harmony with God, with one another, and also with the entire world they lived. But then they sinned, and immediately the conflict began. It began, first of all, between God and man, then between our first parents, and then between the world and everything around them. The conflict was evident when God walked in the cool of the evening in the garden, and our first parents after them and were ashamed. It was also evident when God passed a curse upon Adam and Eve and all their posterity and everything in the created realm ever since. The conflict entered into the human realm when Adam blamed Eve for his part in the sin, and then the entire created order became involved when Eve blamed the serpent for having committed the first sin. And the conflict has continued ever since, with Cain killing his brother Abel in the very next generation, with Saul hurling spears at David, with Israel killing God's prophets, with the Pharisees quarreling with Christ, and the disciples with one another. And these are only a few of the almost countless illustrations of the conflict that exists between man and God, between man and man, and man and the world around him. And so what you end up with is conflict on three levels. Conflict between God, between man and God, one person and another, and the human realm with the natural order. And the conflict is real. It is devastating, and it can be spiritually fatal. But how do you manage or resolve it? When you have a quarrel between a husband and wife, or between generations like parents and their children, or between labor and management, resolution is sought by setting the two sides down together, talking the issues out and hoping that they will see the problems and will come to reconciliation. Or or you might try to solve it by seeking some kind of outside independent counselor, or maybe with both sides agreeing to submit to some kind of arbitration process. Conflict management and resolution is exactly what our text is talking about. Because the desire for this unity between brothers indicates that there is conflict, there is a break in the unity. But in this case, resolution isn't accomplished by discussing the issues and the differences, or by seeking outside advice, or submitting to any kind of human arbitration. Reconciliation between God and man can be accomplished only by the vicarious atonement of Christ on the cross. The price for the sanctifying justice of God was the blood of Christ. It was a perfect obedience by one in whom there was no sin. Resolution is accomplished by the divine conquest of the source of all evil, Satan himself. With victory declared in the very bowels of hell by the exalted Christ. Conflict between people is resolved by people living a God-pleasing life, made possible by our justification and sanctification through Christ and the Holy Spirit. The New Testament apocryphal letter of Zephyrinus says this: assist you another in good faith, and by deed and with a hearty will, nor let anyone remove his hand from the help of a brother, since by this the Lord says, shall all men know that they are my disciples, if you have love one to another. That's how we resolve conflict among ourselves: by confessing our sins to God, by receiving his forgiveness and forgiving one another, and seeking to live together in the kind of love that God modeled for us in the person of Christ. That's how you resolve our conflict. Or the resolution of our sinful conflict occurs also through prayer and charity. Saint Valerian, quoting our text, said, the prophet said in praise of fraternal charity, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. What good is there in the life of men except peace, in which upright pursuits make progress and religious activities are fostered? What is more joyful than all nations serving the one God in peace, and the prayers of all people converging in the praise of one Lord? Or as St. Augustine advises, therefore the bowels of his mercy ought to abound in us, because judgment without mercy is to him that has not done mercy. For this reason pray with us for those who still cause us sadness, that the sadness of this carnal mind, intensified and concentrated by long custom, may be healed. For who does not understand how long and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity? And if that pleasure touches a palate from which the mind has spit out all the bitterness of division, and which loves the sweetness of charity, the God to whom we pray for them is powerful and merciful enough to use any sort of occasion to draw them even now to salvation. Some very wise advice when there is human conflict. And there will be conflict that you will have to deal with. It will occur in your parishes and in your ministry far more than you would like. It will also occur in your family life. Conflict will occur in your friendship relationships. And then you will also say with the prophet, the writer of our text, the psalmist, behold how good and how pleasant it is when brothers dwell in unity. Because that is the desire a unity that begins between us and God with our redemption, our justification by the work of Christ on the cross. And by resolution of conflict and harmony created between brothers and sisters in the faith by the exercise of brotherly love, and also by the ever-present prayers that we must utter for unity among ourselves. There is conflict. It belongs to the sinful realm, unfortunately. But God has offered us resolution, not necessarily in human counselors or conflict management or whatever the human process may be. Granted, God may sometimes use those means, but ultimately the resolution comes from God himself in the forgiveness that he grants us and in the forgiveness that he asks us to have toward one another. May God grant that we will have that unity, which the psalmist holds up as a great blessing in life. For Jesus' sake, amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. We rise for prayer.